This is The Sun on the Strip. I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer at Las Vegas Sun, here to get you caught up on all the news and fun this week from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. I've been gone for a bit, but now I'm back, and there's a ton of stuff to talk about. And joining me today to do that is one of the few people, really, who have been doing this Vegas thing, who has been doing this Vegas thing even longer than me, if you can admit it. And I don't mean to call you old Jeff Carter, but you have been doing this for a while.
Yeah, I have, and I am old. Oh, so old.
You actually worked at Scope before it turned into Las Vegas Weekly Magazine.
Yeah. I was there when the switch was flipped.
And then you went away for a while, went to Seattle, and then you came back. How long has this last run been of being in Vegas?
This tour of duty since May 2012, so coming up on 7 years. 7 years, wow, when I say it like that.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, no, I'm having lots of fun.
You are the senior editor at Las Vegas Weekly. Thanks for joining me today. One of the many things that you have written about for Las Vegas Weekly is public transportation and just the city's need for more of it, and getting people moving around the Strip in a better way is a hot topic right now. Earlier this month, the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authorities Board approved a recommendation to select Elon Musk's The Boring Company to design, build, and run a system of underground transportation tunnels that could eventually connect the Strip and the convention center to downtown and the airport and other destinations. The Boring Company and the LVCVA are working on a plan for final approval that should be made public in June, but the goal is more or less, you know, less disruption to pedestrian and vehicle traffic in the tourism corridor, a faster construction time, and a relatively lower cost for such an impactful transportation project. I think it's somewhere between $35 and $55 million is what they're talking about right now. And the initial focus of this thing will be moving people around the expanding Las Vegas Convention Center District, which is going to span 200 acres by the time it's finished for CES in early 2021.
Wow.
So that makes a lot of sense, but this is a big, I mean, it sounds like a big deal for the Strip and for Vegas. Is it possible to kind of separate the polarizing force that is Elon Musk from this project before evaluating it? I think when his name's attached to something, people definitely have a reaction.
Well, I feel like we're, you know, kind of down the road on that one, since we've got the Gigafactory up in Reno, and up in North Vegas, we've got guys who are building his Hyperloop train.
Right.
You know, we're officially Elon Musk's proving ground. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, if it's, you know, as long as he's, giving opinion of local restaurants or stuff like that, I'm happy to, you know, have his hand, especially in public transit, which is so weirdly controversial around here.
Yeah, why is that? Is this kind of a Southwest regional thing? Is it not just a Las Vegas thing? Why this way?
I just think it's an old cowboy town thing. Mm. You know, it's, when I moved up to Seattle, the first thing I did was dump my car and, you know, take the buses and trains around, which down here is, you know, when I tell people I did that, they look at me like I'm crazy.
Right.
And when I came back here, I actually tried to get around on the buses for a while, and it worked to a degree, but, you know, there was still, big holes in the network where it would take me an hour to get somewhere. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm all for Elon Musk digging holes in the ground and putting us through pneumatic tubes or whatever it takes.
Now, Las Vegas obviously is a leader, a global leader in tourism and entertainment and having these big events, business or otherwise. That has not been the case with transportation, even though it's always been important. And it seems like it's even more important now that we move people, visitors, between the airport and the Strip or wherever their destination might be. I've always wondered why. I mean, we have the monorail. I know that thing has been maligned over the years, and maybe it is and maybe it isn't efficient. But I've always kind of wondered why we don't have something running up and down the Strip that is efficient and that makes sense.
Would be nice. Well, I think we missed an opportunity by not putting the monorail down the middle of the street. Think of what an incredible scenic ride that would be. you know, people would be paying to get on that thing, you know, whatever it takes. Instead, we've got this, you know, thing that runs, you know, basically through the alleys. And I use it occasionally to when I'm seeing shows at MGM. It's easier for me to have dinner at SLS, pay the dollar because it's only, you know, it's a buck for locals, and get in and out real easy.
Yeah, I use it too, but I'm probably in the minority in terms of locals that live here and the amount of time that I spend on this trip just to see shows and do work. Most people that work, I guess I work on the Strip, but most people who work on the Strip are not bouncing between several locations on any given day. So,
yeah.
I don't know if this particular project, this underground tube thing, this doesn't, unlike maybe the monorail, like you said, if the monorail was extended to the airport, it could become useful beyond its obvious tourist and convention visitor utility. This thing does not, to me, doesn't necessarily seem like it's going to help boost the valley's greater need for public transportation.
No, no, but it, if it saves me from walking from one end of the convention hall to the other, I mean, at the size it is now, it kills my feet. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like when it's, you know, a third bigger, or, you know, or bigger than that. You know, and as much a fan as I am of, you know, extending the monorail to the airport, I can kind of see the problems they'd encounter because it's not built for luggage.
Right.
You know, and who knows where people are going to put that. I can just see the thing getting overloaded real easy. You know, there's got to be a, you know, transit solution for the airport. I just don't know if the monorail is going to be it.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. When I go to, like, Chicago, where I am a couple times a year, take the train from the airport, that's a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
To lug your bag on there, and, you know, everybody knows what it is like getting on an airport tram at a busy day at McCarran is kind of a disaster too. So there's a lot more thought that needs to go into these things before we have like a perfect solution, I suppose.
But I know that the LVCVA is going to drive it. We're you know, we're locked in a bitter convention war with Orlando. And, you know, the more bodies we can get through here, the better. And it's, you know, we're going to need monorails. We're going to need, you know, underground. We're going to need lift. We're going to need cabs. We're going to need all of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another bit of news coming out of the LVCVA this week. This is the 25th consecutive year that Las Vegas was named the country's number one trade show destination, according to the Trade Show News Network. Vegas hosted 48 of the largest shows in the country last year, with CES being the biggest, of course, taking up 2.8 million square feet of exhibit space just by itself. This is why the convention center is expanding, right? Where we have nearly 24,000 meetings every year, and there's more than 11.5 million square feet of meeting space in Vegas right now. And in the next 5 years, Las Vegas is adding more than 3 million square feet more.
Eat that, Orlando.
Yeah, Orlando and Chicago tied for second. Yes, big business news. How about some entertainment news? Donnie and Marie have officially announced their final show at the Flamingo will be November 16th. This is not actually news. We already knew that the Osmonds' 10-year-plus residency at the Flamingo was going to be ending this year. They play Tuesday through Saturday in the Donnie and Marie showroom, and we'll continue that schedule pretty consistently until that finale. Have you seen that show, Jeff?
I have not. I'm sad to say. I'm going to have to squeeze it in.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Obviously, I think that's a show that's, like, generational. It's got an older audience, and that's what has kept it so popular over the years. But I saw it... it was actually the first show I saw after 1 October. 2 days later, I saw it. And it was pretty great. They're both really talented, and you kind of forget all the stuff that they've done individually over the years. And they run through their own careers and do stuff together, and they're always, like, joking with each other and messing with each other.
Their entire life, they've been working a room.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, you know, that's got to come across. You know, they got to be, you know, perfectly, you know, natural up there.
Yeah. Yes, I would recommend it. At this point, though, I don't really believe any kind of long-term residency type show that closes. I don't really believe that it's going away.
No. It's like the Avengers. They'll all be back.
I think they're going to come back in another venue at some point. I think Celine's going to be back on the Strip eventually when that's the right time for her. Like, why would you? They've made so much money, sold so many tickets. And Donny Marie, obviously, a smaller scale show. But I think they'll be back.
Back and bigger.
Jimmy Kimmel Live is taping in Las Vegas for the first time next week. He's doing 5 shows, April 1st through 5th, from inside Zappos Theater at Planet Hollywood. This is no surprise, of course. Kimmel went to UNLV, sort of grew up in Las Vegas. He's a big Vegas advocate, and he's opening his own comedy club at the Link Promenade very soon. He's got this tremendous relationship with Caesars Entertainment, which also operates Planet Hollywood. So I think this is kind of cool. His guests for the week will include Kim and Courtney and Khloe Kardashian on that Monday. And Celine is going to be his guest that Friday. And then others throughout the week include Tiffany Haddish, Kevin Hart, Seth Rogen, The Killers, and James Taylor. James Taylor, of course, is headlining the Coliseum at Caesars Palace starting April 17th. So I think it's cool. The world gets some extra Vegas on TV. Caesars gets a lot of TV time. Seems like a win-win.
And we get a Kardashian singularity. Yeah, that's. When was the last time they were all together? Does that like affect the weather or something like that?
That's a lot of Kardashian.
And of course, I assume that Matt Damon's going to be there since he's been sleeping in Jimmy's green room for several seasons now.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure he'll get a lot of. I think that's also the week of. Now I can't remember the name of it. The big film, Hollywood Film Expo here in Vegas, CinemaCon.
Yeah.
That's happening the same week, I think, or it crosses over later in the week or something like that. So I'm sure there'll be some big celebs popping through.
I'm really looking forward to the remotes. Just all the stuff he goes and films out on the street. That's always a highlight of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he really does feel like our Vegas guy, you know, like he's here a lot. He did a lot of campaigning during the midterm election
and it's been
for Nevada Democrats. He's just he seems like he likes being here.
It's been cool seeing him, you know, grow into the role, going from the, you know, the bowling shirts into the suits and
yeah, the man show. The man show. Some things don't they don't survive. That thing, it's probably a good thing that didn't survive. Wrong era. A little bit more Caesar stuff. The High Roller Observation Wheel marks its 5th birthday on March 31st.
And like Donnie and Maria, I've not yet experienced it.
I haven't either. I was going to confess that I've never been on the wheel. I don't know. I don't know if I need to go on the wheel. Honestly.
I feel like I should, but there's tons of stuff in this town I feel like I should have done by now. And
yeah.
I've been here on and off for, nearly 20 years, and it's marked by the stuff I haven't done that I can't believe I haven't done.
Right. At some point, you have to make the rounds and go through that list and just start crossing things off. But
I'll be dead by the time the weekend is over.
I don't know how high the High Roller Wheel is on that particular list for me. So for the big birthday, many of its neighbors on the Link Promenade, like bars and restaurants, are doing different specials to celebrate. And there's a special $50 package that includes an anytime ticket to ride the wheel, this High Roller commemorative book, a cocktail inside the Sky Lounge, and a commemorative photo. And also during the birthday weekend of March 29th to 31st, youth tickets will be $5, and little tiny kids 6 and under will be free. That seems like they should always be free.
Yeah.
That's a little kid. Maybe that's a good place to throw your kid. Just throw him into one of those little bubbles and see you in a half hour. Somebody else's problem. Speaking of family-friendly strip attractions, Madame Tussauds is celebrating 20 years in Las Vegas. When did that happen?
You got me.
That is shocking to me.
That's still at the Venetian, right?
Yeah, okay. Right. Just off the Venetian on your way. If you're riding those people mover escalator things down. Madame Tussauds is right there. 20 years, man. So they're celebrating. They created a 90s-themed kind of pop-up exhibit, and they had a launch party for this thing last week. Of course, Flavor Flav was the host. It wouldn't be right otherwise. The attraction, do not call it a wax museum unless you want to get yelled at. They've got a bunch of 90s icons set up, like the Spice Girls, Bill Clinton, Daft Punk, Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake in their unfortunately unforgettable all-denim outfits from the MTV Awards years ago. That's worth going to see, just that. That part of the attraction will be up for several months for you to enjoy, and Madame Tussauds also has partnered with Booking.com to create a new Sleepover with the Stars experience.
All right, I'm already creeped out.
Yeah, so you can do this. It's they're going to do it April 5th through 7th.
Like a night at the museum thing. You with your sleeping bag underneath Bill Clinton.
Interesting choice. Groups of up to four can book a one-night stay inside the attraction. And it includes a tour, a viewing of The Hangover, the first movie, The Hangover, breakfast, and who knows what else. Yeah, I don't know. It didn't say what the sleeping arrangements are going to be. Is it going to be creepy to spend the night in Madame Tussauds?
I'm going to go with yes. You know, it's no matter how, you know, accurate they are, I just get a whole Vincent Price House of Wax vibe from the whole idea. Mm-hmm.
I have done this. I have done Madame Tussauds. And I feel like some of those statues are more realistic than others, but the really good ones are kind of uncanny. And yeah, I don't know if I want to wake up in the middle of the night and come across creepy wax Brad Pitt or whatever. That could get sketchy fast.
I wonder if they've gotten kind of a bump in the selfie era. You know, the idea, you know, there's whole Instagram museums now where you just go to take a picture with a wall. It'd be, you know, cool to take one with a super accurate figure of somebody you're crazy about.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's doing well. And they also, like this 90s thing, they've done a really good job of always doing something new, not just bringing new, you know, more relevant statues in, but, like, putting things together in an interesting way. And the last time I was there was last year. They had a Steve Aoki set up, so they had a whole DJ booth set up, and they had an Aoki figure, and they had the real Aoki in there doing a DJ set and smashing cake in his figure's face. It was interesting. It was an interesting afternoon.
Fetishes you didn't know you needed.
All right, a little bit of a quick lounge update. The Tropicana has unveiled its new Trago Lounge. It's just off the casino floor next to the showroom. It has a vastly improved cocktail menu, 24-seat bar with 10 TVs, 22 video poker machines, nightly DJs, and most importantly, it's open 24 hours. It's the perfect pregame spot if you're going to go see Legends in Concert that just opened at the Trop a short while ago. Meanwhile, the Bellagio is renovating two of its fancy casino bars. Later this year, the Baccarat Bar is going to close May 28th and reopen in the fall. And the much more well-known Petrosian Bar, you know, this is the one right across the hotel lobby where there's always a great piano player and they have like a caviar menu.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great place. It will close August 26th and reopen in December. Not a lot of other information about those, so I have to assume that there's still going to be some sort of lounge bar. It's not like they're converting it into a esports facility or anything like that. But we'll see. All right. What is taking over the strip this week? Well, the Venetian has the incredibly sexy Adobe Systems Summit through the end of the week. 10,000 people talking about Creative Clouds and why my Acrobat app keeps trying to update itself. But the big show, of course, is Nightclub and Bar. At Las Vegas Convention Center, about 40,000 attendees this year. That's a huge deal. And I wrote about that last week in Las Vegas Weekly.
Big fan. That's the reason I've never had to buy a wine key.
It's fun. It is the booziest convention.
Truly. I did phantom shots of who knows what.
It's a fun one. It is a fun one. In past years, the nightclub and bar has happened at the same time as Pizza Expo at the both at the convention center. And that's pretty much the most amazing week of my life when I go between those two things.
That's wonderful.
Oh, man. Pizza Expo. I missed out on Pizza Expo this week. I'm very upset about it still. I'm never going to be happy that I missed Pizza Expo. All right, my big show of the week is Michael Bublé at T-Mobile Arena on Saturday, March 30th. He last performed in Las Vegas at the Keep Memory Alive Power of Love Gala last year. He doesn't come through Vegas very much anymore, but he's touring now, and he's at T-Mobile Saturday night. You can find more weekend entertainment options every Friday with my Best Bets column at LasVegasSun.com. That was super fast, Jeff. We're already done.
We're so efficient.
I feel like we need to talk about something else.
Talk about bringing me back. I'd love to come back.
Yeah, for sure. Anytime you want. That's it for this episode of The Sun on the Strip. Please visit Apple Podcasts to rate and review this thing and find every episode of this podcast at LasVegasSun.com. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you next week.